From the first time I began to pray the daily office, morning prayer, some 40 years ago, this verse from Psalm 85 lodged in my heart and memory. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, I never went to any great lengths to unpack this saying, but still I had a visceral awareness that the demands of justice and mercy are frequently at odds with each other. I knew that our entire justice system was and is dependent upon getting at the truth of a matter. I'd heard, as you have, countless demonstrators chanting, "No justice, no peace." We live in a world where groups are inclined to take up one side of the equation only. Think of Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, or of the Paradise Papers recently released in Canada. That's all about revealing the truth. Think of Jean Valjean in Les Misérables and the punctilious police officer Javert. Javert will have justice regardless of the circumstances in which Valjean stole bread or the willingness of his victim to forgive him. Think of any number of people who want to hurry over or ignore the hard bits for the sake of keeping the peace. Indeed, think of any major political conflict or personal source of disagreement, especially one where people are feeling sore about something, and you're likely to find people waving the flag for justice or mercy or peace or truth. But the psalmist's vision is mercy and truth have met together. Justice and peace have kissed each other. You know that in the past year, our diocese has intentionally been learning about reconciliation. And quite prominent in this work has been an emphasis on reconciliation between the descendants of settlers and our first peoples. However, the scope of this conversation about reconciliation has always been broader than that. You have only to pick up a newspaper. The current crisis in Jerusalem is a case on point. Or visit the family courts. Or attend a synod, or live or work with actual people, to know that we often find ourselves in difficult and complex disagreements. Why does this matter to the church? Because as Christians, we believe that the work of Jesus Christ was to mend broken relationships, to reconcile the world to God and to each other, a ministry which, according to Paul, has now been entrusted to us. This is our job. And it is in this context that I came upon a book on reconciliation by a Mennonite named John Paul Lederach. Lederach also seizes upon Psalm 85. Now, unlike your hapless dean, who was content for so many years to sort of get it, Lederach has actually parsed this verse in great and enormously helpful detail. In fact, using this verse from Psalm 85, he's provided a tool for reconciliation, which I imagine that any one of us could make use of almost immediately. So remember, here's the verse. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace, justice and peace have kissed each other. Lederach, whose work has largely consisted in working with conflicted parties in severely war-torn parts of the world, notes that for the psalmist, these four qualities aren't merely ideas. He talks about them meeting and kissing. I mean, it's almost as if they are alive. And so he personifies them, names them Brother Mercy, Sister Truth, Brother Justice, Sister Peace. And he recognizes that each of these four has a different claim upon what is needed if authentic reconciliation is to take place. And so it was with this insight that he began an experiment in his conflict resolution work and in his training sessions with people learning to mediate conflict. And so he describes a training workshop in the 80s with a group of Nicaraguan pastors and community leaders who had been working in the peace commissions, not without considerable threat to their own well-being and safety. And so in the group, he divided them into four smaller groups, and he designated them peace, justice, mercy, and truth. And then he asked them this question. What is peace, or mercy, or justice, and so on? What is peace most concerned about in the midst of a conflict? And then, in their reporting back, he addressed each speaker as Brother Justice or Sister Peace, and so on. And each reporter would begin, I am Mercy, or whatever I am, and I am concerned that, and then they would describe what felt important to them. And then finally, all four respondents entered into a dialogue together. Well, in due course, after running this experiment a number of times, you can imagine that Lederach ended up with a rich and telling conversation between these four participants. A lot of ideas had come into the mix. And he has recorded these as a short play in his excellent little book, and here's the advertisement. His excellent little book called Reconcile, Conflict Transformation for Ordinary Christians. So he began to take this script which he had written and use it when working in protracted conflicts. And at a certain point in the proceedings, as he heard the disputants calling for a little mercy or justice or truth, or could we just have a little peace here? And when it was evident that people saw their positions as being in opposition to each other, he would ask, I think probably a little cheekily, well, what if we were to invite our four friends to join us and ask them to openly discuss their views about conflict? I've seen them come and go in other fights, and I could ask them to try and clear a few things up for us. And Lederach reports that people, locked as they were in their righteous stances, people were initially doubtful, but once they heard the conversation between Brother Mercy, Sister Truth, Brother Justice, and Sister Peace, they came to realize that all four of these energies, as he calls them, has a rightful claim to be heard and embraced. Each has its own contribution to make to authentic reconciliation, and each has its own fears of the other. given an opportunity to be heard as an equal who need not fear ever being squeezed out of the resolution of the matter, he says, we keep these energies from going underground or being driven to extremes. Again, we need only look at the front page of our papers. So let me end with the concluding dialogue which Lederach has as a convener with Truth, Mercy, Justice, and Peace. He turns to the four of them and he asks, how would it be possible for the four of you to meet? What would you need from each other? Sister Truth speaks first, and she directs her comments to Mercy. You must slow down, Brother Mercy. Give me a chance to emerge. Our child cannot be born without the slow development in the womb of the mother, who is Truth. Brother Mercy nods and replies to her, shine bright, dear Sister Truth. Please, please take care not to blind and burn. Remember that each person is a child of God. Each is weak and needs support to grow. Justice speaks next and refers back to an earlier conversation in which he had feared that Peace forgets that she is the child of Justice, not its mother. And he says, I have been partly reassured by the words of Sister Peace. I need a clear statement that she gives a place for accountability and action. Remember when Micah spoke of us, love mercy and do justice. You, Sister Peace, must allow room for me to come forward. And Peace responds, Brother Justice, we need one another. Don't fall into the bitterness that rages without purpose. I will provide the soil for you to work and bear fruit. Now, during this exchange, the four have drawn close to each other in a small circle, and Lederach asks them, and what is this place where you stand together? And together they reply, this place is called reconciliation. Amen.